John Compton, let's just explain to people, first of all, you're in charge of the Transforming Your Care document. You designed
it. That's right.
So you're ultimately in charge of all of these trusts. Is that right?
Well, yes. I mean, we commission or buy the services from the trusts for, in this case, for services for older people.
So you're the man that wants all residential, statutory residential care homes in Northern Ireland closed.
Well, no, the issue, again, to be clear about it, Stephen, it's a what and a how thing. We've spent, and I've been in your programme on many occasions in terms of Transforming Your Care, talking about how we are changing the model of care for older people and how there's less of a role for residential care facilities, traditional residential care facilities.
Is there any role?
I think there's a very reduced role for them. It won't be a situation, I think, where there won't be ever any residential care.
There's going to be none in the Northern Trust.
Well, across Northern Ireland, as I was going to say. But that depends on local solutions and local areas. So, for example, in the Northern Trust, the document they produced yesterday talks about a process which stretches out to 2018. It talks about, for example, two of the sites that they're currently using, both I think in Green Island and in Ballycastle, going into housing with care and new facilities. That's what Transforming Your Care was about. It's about real alternatives and different alternatives to the traditional model of care.
But they're to close all nine. They propose to close all nine statutory residential homes.
Over a 5 or 6 year period.
But all of them, every one of them.
Yes.
Some of them as early as November of this year?
Yes. I mean, the timing of the closure of a given unit is to do with the opportunities that exist for proper relocation, proper alternatives, and proper planning. And on this programme, when I've been here on many occasions, one of the things you've said to me is which homes and what's happening where. Obviously, we had to wait until the Minister stood up and agreed that the Transforming Your Care process should be endorsed. He's done so, and this is now the outworking of it.
So 80 and 90-year-olds will be forced against their will out of their home, and they're being given less than six months' notice.
I think that's a very unfair way to present it.
Is it a yes or a no that's happening?
No, that's not going. No one is going to be compelling and forcing in the way in which you're indicating. If they wish to stay in that home, they can. If you'd let me just answer the question, Stephen. The issue is we have closed elderly persons' homes in health and social care over the last decade, and we've done it very successfully. I've been at many public meetings where people are rightly exercised and very, very concerned about the change. And when the change is made, no one would go back to what was there. I could take you now to places.
So people are wrong?
No, I think people are concerned.
You're right, they're wrong.
No. I think people are concerned. You're always dealing with two populations here. You're dealing with a population that's going to use our services in the future and the population that's currently using it.
Let's come back.
You have to deal with the people who are currently in the service with tremendous sensitivity and personal care.
And let's talk about that tremendous sensitivity. Yeah. Is it a statement of fact that elderly people, 80 and 90-year-olds in the Northern Trust homes will be forced out of those homes, given less than 6 months' notice, and it is against their will?
No, I think.
Well, you say no. Well, Explain to me how it's a no.
Well, it's a no because I think you talk to families, you talk to the individuals, you explain what you're doing, and you come to a reasoned and a reasonable solution for that individual. Now, there are many occasions where we've done this in the past, and initially people say things like, I don't really want to move. Then you show families the alternative, you explain the alternative, you show the individual the alternative.
And if they still say no, what happens?
Well, I don't think in the past anywhere we have actually lifted anybody out of any residential unit, put them in a bus and moved them somewhere else. So that's not how health and social care operates. So we're not going to do that.
So the assistant acting director, some title like that, he was one of the main men who came on the programme yesterday from the Northern Trust.
Yes.
He told me, I had to push him. You know, I've heard all these strap lines, I've heard it from you, I've heard it from others. You know, elderly people want to stay in their own homes and all this kind of stuff. But when I actually pushed him about what about the residents in those homes within the Northern Trust, he conceded that when he had surveyed them, when he had spoken to them, the majority of them have said, please don't move me. Yeah. Please don't move me out. I want to stay here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does that matter?
Of course it matters what people
want. In what way?
It matters what people say.
But you're closing anyway.
No, but the process, you have to understand the process about how things like this are done. So typically what happens is you appoint independent advocates to work with the individuals. You talk to the individuals. If I just walk in today and say to you, I'm moving you away from where you're currently living in your elderly person's home, well, of course, why would anybody think that it would be other than, no, I'm not very happy about that. If you talk to the individual, if you talk to the family, if you show alternatives, if you work with people, I find in the past, and you know, in the past that has worked very successfully.
So what if John Compton, what if the vast majority of people, elderly people within these homes, say, after you've talked to them, after you've discussed with them, mm-hmm. please do not move me.
Well, I think we have to just cross those bridges when we come to them,
Stephen. But what are you going to do?
Well,
is it potential that you won't move them?
Well, I think,
or will you carry them out?
No, Stephen. No one does that, and that has never happened.
So what are you going to do?
I think you cross the bridge when you come to it.
It's unacceptable. John, for a man of your intelligence, here's what you've done. You've put together a major policy document, okay, with lots of different what-if scenarios. And in the very reasonable what-if scenario, that there might be vulnerable people in this community who desperately do not want to move from their home. And your stock answer this morning is, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. Unacceptable.
Well, you may say it's unacceptable. What I'm talking about is, you deal with people at an individual level. You talk to them individually. You work with them individually. And no one in the past, anywhere in the past, has force marched anybody from any residential care unit.
I'm not talking about force marched.
Well, they haven't done it. So the point you're saying about lifting out or putting people in a bus, no one has ever done that.
So everybody willingly leaves their home?
In the end, if you're in a facility...
It's not because they don't have a choice. It's because they're willingly doing it.
Well, I think in the round, that is the case. Because if you get to a situation, and some of the units, for example, currently, remember, the numbers in units. So if you have a 30-place unit and you have only 10 permanent residents in that unit, there are real difficulties about
but
that
I
sort
come
of
back,
situation.
I come back, and this is a key question. I'm coming back to it one last time. If someone, and indeed their advocate, and indeed their family, are saying to you at the end of this persuasive process, mm-hmm. no, It will traumatise my elderly person. My elderly person is manifesting suicidal tendencies because they feel that this is their safe environment. My elderly mother, father is frightened and is still saying, please do not do this. What is your what-if planning?
Well, I think, the point about this is because it's individual and because it's personal, it depends on the individual and personal circumstances. The guarantee is that individual and personal circumstances will be listened to and will be addressed. And I can't say any more than that. Because those circumstances are to do with whatever that individual requires or wants. And
lovely flowery language.
No, it's not flowery language.
It's every individual wants. There will be a date at which these homes will close.
Well, the date at which the home closes in terms of the consultation, we get criticised if we don't say we are planning to do it on a certain date. Because yourself and other people will say, you're not telling us,
So when that deadline date is there?
The consultation process, the point I'm trying to make, Stephen, is a consultation process. One of the things that it will look at is that date reasonable? Is that date realistic? Does that date take account of individual circumstances? Does it take account of individual needs? And where there are circumstances where that date needs to adjust, it will adjust.
What does the data show in terms of an increase or a decrease in mortality rates when older people are asked to leave residential homes?
I think it depends which data you're looking at and how you want to do that. I mean, you're assuming here that older people don't move house, don't change where they live in the normal course of events.
Against their will?
Don't improve the circumstances and where they live. It is entirely wrong to say that this is a process which is callous, uncaring, and it doesn't take...
Those are your words.
No, the point is that the implication from what you're saying to me is that we are trying to create a system which is uncaring and callous. The whole purpose of this exercise is to improve the care and the quality that our older people experience.
So I was doing some reading last night, and you're right, there are many different surveys.
Yes.
But in some of the surveys I've been reading, when residential homes have been closed across the water in England, there was one survey that suggested that the mortality rate tripled in older people.
Well, yes, I mean, you can read a range of surveys which will give you a range of figures as far as that is concerned.
Does that concern you?
Of course it concerns me. And of course, that is the whole purpose of the consultation. That is the whole purpose.
Well, that's not a purpose of a consultation, sir, with the public. You're the expert. What's your understanding of the mortality rate?
Let me finish, Stephen. The reason for that is we are not oblivious to the fact of the implications of moving older people. That is why when you go out to consult and to talk to people, you do it sensitively, you do it carefully, and you do it with time, and you don't do it in a pressurised environment. You suggest to people how you would like to make the change, when you would like to make the change, and you adjust as a consequence of the debate and discussion that you have.
So what is your understanding of the mortality
rates? There is no standard mortality rate available that you could quote to say
could
that
you
this
quote
is
the range of your understanding so that I understand your understanding
no, I think,
of it?
I don't really. It's a range of surveys that will tell you, as you said, up to a third. Sometimes it's zero. So it's a pointless exercise.
Increase in mortality rates.
Yes, and which is correct. You know, the point about it is there isn't an absolute.
Would you concede that the research data would suggest that there is an increase, but somewhere between zero and a third or whatever you want to say, there's an increase in mortality rates because elderly people, when they're moving, essentially.
If it's poorly done, of course. If it's poorly done. But this exercise isn't to be poorly done. The whole purpose of this is not to do it poorly. The whole purpose of this is to do it straightforwardly, transparently, and with considerable sensitivity.
Okay. And that's why I'm so grateful for you coming in and giving us your time today. Before these announcements have been made, can you give me a guarantee that every resident, because we talk about relatives, mm-hmm. and we talk about what the callers to this programme think, actually, the residents are adults.
Of course they are.
And they are the most vulnerable.
Of course
I'm
they
speaking
are.
On their behalf this morning.
Of course
morning.
They are, yes.
Can you give me a guarantee every one of them has been consulted before this has been released?
Well, I think my expectation in the middle of all of that, and I can't guarantee about a specific thing, but my expectation is that none of the information comes into the public arena and should be a surprise to individuals who are resident in a particular unit. Now, then you have to get into the consultation process. So there's two steps here. There's information to say we're going to go into the public arena about that, and then there's we will talk to you about how that's done, and we will give you the support, and we will give you the independent support who will act on your behalf if you feel uncomfortable about it. Many older people don't feel that uncomfortable. Many older people are entirely able to make their views well expressed.
And when you say that, many older people don't feel uncomfortable about it.
Yes.
Break that down for me. So you've surveyed these residents. What percentage don't feel uncomfortable about it?
No, Stephen. It's not like that. You don't go in. I'm sometimes accused of turning people into numbers and boxes and things. What we expect is that the residents will know that there's to be a presentation at a trust board, that there's to be a change in their facility. What we also expect them to know is that there's a process by which they will be able to contribute to that debate and that their interests will be listened to.
No, John, you're sometimes accused of being slick and being really, really good at conveying a message. You've just said that many older people feel comfortable about it.
Yeah.
Now,
no,
that might
say,
reassure
I said,
people.
I meant comfortable about the fact that they are able to discuss their circumstances and the choices that are in front of them.
Okay.
Other people may need, because of disability, illness or infirmity, to have an independent support.
Do you have any statistical breakdown as to how many, what percentages of residents are telling you, please don't do this, or what percentage of residents are saying, look, we can cope with it?
No, not in the way in which, not in that
My
sort of
goodness.
Simple black or white way that you're talking about.
Wow.
No.
So you haven't asked them?
No, not at all. That's making a quantum leap from one place to the other.
Have
Stephen.
You asked them? Statistical research of the residents that will be directly affected.
My understanding is that in each of the trust areas, mm-hmm. that they will explain to the residents and to the units that there is to be a change. There will then be the process, as I've said to you before, about potentially advocacy or whatever, to make sure that a proper individual issue is dealt with both them as human beings and with their families.
But is it just me, or is this not an obvious question? Before any trust, overseen by you, have a proposal in their mind to close every home, would they not want to know what the residents, what percentage of residents within those homes, before they decide that that's what their proposal is, would they not want to know 60% say they couldn't cope with it, actually 40% think they could, we could maybe convince the others? Why has this not been part of the decision process, helping to inform the decision?
Stephen, we have spent about the last 18 months, as I think you know, talking about transforming your care, talking about the type of services that we're about. We have talked to many, many people, older people, a whole range of people about that.
Have you talked to older residents?
As part of that process, yes, that's an ongoing issue that goes on all the time.
And within those residents, give me the data.
Well, I don't keep data in the way in which you're talking
that's
about.
That's handy.
I don't keep data in the way in which...
That's a dereliction of duty.
Well, you may say that. I don't think
well,
that...
Well, how's it not?
Because in the sense of when we talk to older people, we don't keep the data about the North... I can tell you how many people are over the age of 65, over 75, over 85, but we talk to people. Some people are interested
so you
in
can't be held accountable.
Oh, that's nonsense, Stephen.
So you talk to elderly people.
Yes.
All right?
Yes.
But you're not able to make it public because you didn't bother detailing it. What percentage of people were your proposal, were against it?
Stephen, we published a document telling everybody.
So tell me.
Telling everybody.
Not
over
telling
the top,
them, asking
over
them.
Over the top about when we went out for Transforming Your Care and all of that, there's a 70, 80 page document which tells you exactly who told us what about things, tells you exactly the age structure of people who did all of that detail.
No, but not, you see, to ask anybody, 30, 40, 50, 60, would you like to be at home or would you like to be in a residential home, right? Completely different question to asking people who are currently in a residential home, how do you feel about being moved out?
Two things, Stephen, I've said all the time and many times in your programme, we're always dealing with two populations. The future of the service and who's going to use it and the people who are currently in it.
And for the people who are currently in it.
And the people who are currently in it, when it actually comes down to being a very personal issue for the people who are currently in it, the expectation is absolutely crystal clear that we talk to the individual about the range of alternatives that would be there.
But you have no statistical data as to their current thinking.
We listen to the number.
None.
We listen to the numbers of things that they say to us. We show examples of where they would go. For example, if you say to someone, would you like to stay in this unit or would you like to go somewhere else?
Yeah.
You have to show them what the somewhere else is. You can't just say, would you like to go somewhere else? Because they have no sense of somewhere else.
But the proposal's here.
Yes.
The Northern Trust have decided they want to close every home.
Over a five-year period.
They want to close every home over a five-year period.
Yes.
How do the residents feel about that? What percentage of residents? No, the Northern Trust have already decided.
They will talk to... No. Stephen, again, back to the position. We went out on Transforming Your Care. We said we are going to close residential care across Northern Ireland. What we're doing is clear. That's agreed. Mm. This is now how to do it. And how to do it is to talk to the individuals. And of course we will talk to the individuals. And of course we will take account of what they want and what they need. And where we can, we will do that, I hope, very successfully. Because in the past,
Stephen, these people are completely boxed in, John. You're closing the homes and then you're asking them how do you feel about it.
And you know, the past is important. When we have closed residential care in the past, it has been very successful. And frankly, I haven't had anybody come back to me and say, I want to go back to the place. So you have to have that individual personal conversation.
With all due respect, part of your defence this morning is they don't want to go back to somewhere which is already closed.
No, Stephen. They don't want to go back to a situation where they are in a different environment, a better housing environment, a more supported environment,
a more personal environment. You're forcing these people into a different environment.
No, Stephen.
They don't have a choice.
No, Stephen, the point about it is, as I've said to you before, no one in my working time in health and social care has been frog marched from anywhere. No one has. We talk to individuals, we show them choices, we show them alternatives, and that has success. And we take time.
Well, it's a bit, and I'll tell you what, I'll be playing your words loud and clear this morning. So elderly residents have got the right to sit in that home and refuse to leave.
I didn't say that,
Stephen. Well, you're not going to frog march them out.
I have said...
It's going to be their choice.
Because in the end, Stephen, we have found over a period of time, when you talk to people, show alternatives, in the round, people appreciate the alternatives.
In the end, you lot know better.
No one's saying that at all.
Okay, let's talk, because it's really important. Let's talk about the public consultation.
Yes.
All right? Because the vast majority of calls that come into this programme say, you've decided it, Trust have decided it, and then you go out and you publicly consult. Might as well whistle in the wind.
Well, I mean...
So let me nail this.
Right.
What would it take to hear, in a public consultation, for you to reverse the decision of closing one of these homes?
It's very difficult to be specific
about
that.
What's the criteria?
Well, you know, first of all, you have to ask people the sorts of things that we will want to know, and I'm sure the Northern Trust will want to know, and other trusts will want to know when they bring forward their proposals are, is the timescale reasonable? Does it suit? Are the alternatives in place? Have the individuals had the opportunity to see the alternatives, think about the alternatives? Have we discussed with relatives what is the way forward? But remember, the decision about changing the model of care is already taken.
I know that's already taken.
So therefore, this is about the implementation of that decision.
Okay, so the public consultation cannot stop any of these homes closing. Is that right?
It's about how it happens.
But just for clarity, can the public consultation stop any of these homes closing?
Well, it could stop. It could, of course, stop individual things, because you might say the alternatives aren't properly in place. You might say that there is a timetable here which is not deliverable or whatever.
Okay, and what percentage of response do you need in a public consultation in order for it to kick in and stop that?
It's not a percentage of response. It's a sense of, can you actually deliver the transition? Can you actually successfully lead to the transfer of a service from one given unit to somewhere else?
But that's really the issue. But in order to give the public assurance and confidence in this public consultation, you have got to have criteria that is transparent.
Well, the criteria are the sorts of things that I've talked about. So is the timescale deliverable? Are the alternatives in place?
But just say,
what does that mean for that number of people?
But just say the trust thinks it is deliverable, because clearly that's their proposal. You design it. You think it is deliverable. You know, there's got to be criteria here, John, through which we know that, look, if 10% of the respondents say it's not deliverable, does that reverse your decision? Maybe not. Is the threshold 40%, 50%, 60%?
But this isn't about numbers, Stephen. Right. This is about people. And so the issue is the debate about people. And you form the view in consultation about what people tell you as far as all of that is concerned.
No criteria.
Not about whether. If I said to you, if we had a 20% opposition to it, the place will continue to close, you would come on and say, well, what about the 20% and attack me about the 20%?
No, here's what I'm going to say to you.
The issue is about the individual sets of circumstances.
No, but what I'm going to say to you is, how on earth can we be confident that you and your trusts are not going to do your own thing anyway and ignore a public consultation?
Because any public consultation that I or any of the organisations have been involved in is very real. I know people have this view and they are cynical at times about public consultation. Yeah. I can simply say to you that public consultation, in my view, does make an impact on the changes that we have.
Give me one major policy that you've designed that has been changed or reversed because of a public consultation.
In transforming your care. The issues in transforming your care about policy changes that have been made there are about timings, not about. It's often.
No, but give me a specific example of how any of your major policies have been changed because of public consultation.
Well, I mean, you could say that in transforming your care, the personalisation of care is a direct deliverable from what people told us. They wanted to be personally in control of their care.
No, a change.
Well, that is a change. That is a huge change.
From what you wanted?
No, that's a huge change. It's not from what you want. Look, you're assuming that...
The public consultation comes after your proposal, John.
You're assuming in the middle of all of this that somewhere in a drawer somewhere there's a solution to every problem. Actually, the solution emerges when you talk to people.
Finally, Children's Heart Services in Northern Ireland. Quite a lot of controversy around this, and people will be wondering why they've got to now travel so far for that. Why we don't have that service here in Northern Ireland, in our locality.
Well, I think as was covered yesterday, it's all about sustainability and safety. Everyone wants, parents, me, everybody involved in this wants a safe, sustainable service for people for youngsters who need paediatric
cardiac
surgery.
Why can't we have a safe service in Northern Ireland?
Well, I think, again, the criteria that were published yesterday, which were agreed by the way, by everybody, parents, professionals and the lot, show that the volume of activity that we have in Northern Ireland is too small. It is too small. For everybody agreed that a clear criteria for us was to have a 24/7 service. It was to deliver a 24/7 service. We need to be doing around 400 operative procedures per annum. In Northern Ireland, we do about 100 operative procedures per annum. We cannot get to 400. It is a difficult service to run.
So it wouldn't be safe?
No, I think...
Or it wouldn't be efficient?
The issue is that it's not sustainable. It's a service that's built on goodwill. We have fantastic people who work in the Children's Hospital. I know them extremely well. Fantastic and people. But you cannot build a service of this magnitude and this seriousness on goodwill. It has to be built on something that is robust and sustainable.
And are the exact same safety checks, do they apply in Dublin, in the yes. south, as applied here? The yes. exact same criteria?
Yes. Yes. Exactly the same. I mean, in Dublin, they do over 500 procedures a year. It's a large unit. People travel from the whole of the rest of the island from there, from Cork, from Galway, whatever, to that one situation. They record their evidence under a regulatory body which publishes all of the information and the quality standards. And that's something that we are absolutely insistent on, because if we're going to use Dublin in that way, we must have from Dublin assurance that the quality is correct.
Okay. John Cotton, thank you for coming in. Okay.